everyone. Welcome to another fantastic edition of the Revenge of the Beards podcast, otherwise known as the Cybersecurity Matters podcast. Joining me, as always, is my bearded brother, Christian Redshaw. Christian, who's our very cool guest today?
Well, it's so ironic that you say that, Dominic, because our guest has no beard today. So maybe we should have asked him to try to grow one before this episode, maybe given him some warning. And he's actually a guest that is long overdue. We've wanted to have him for a long time. And he is referred to, or he refers to himself, one of the two, as Mr. Awesome. His name is Danny Pehar, and he actually is awesome. So he does live up to his name, based out of the Toronto, Ontario area. So he's all about cybersecurity awareness and making leadership and staff of organizations aware of what the cyber threats are and what kind of behavior they should be practicing to minimize the threat.
Absolutely. Danny radiates awesomeness. He is such a high energy person. So I know we're going to have to buckle up because it's going to be a hell of a high ride conversation here. So we'll pause here. We'll bring Danny in and buckle up, everyone. This is going to be a very high energy conversation.
Here we go. All right. Well, today we have none other than Mr. Awesome himself, Danny Pehar. Danny, welcome to Cybersecurity Matters today.
How could I not feel welcome with such a great intro? Pleasure to be here and a huge fan of the show.
That's good. But let's be honest, you insisted that we call you that off camera. So let's
tell the truth. And I insisted that you invite me. I've been hounding you guys for for months now.
So, my first question is, why did it take so long to get you on the show? We're in our second season now. It's 2021. Honestly, we should have had you on a year ago. What's the deal?
I think what it boils down to is it has to do with some sort of beard prejudice and the fact that I don't have one. And you guys are like, I don't know, man, he's not going to fit in, right? So, you know, I threatened to call the government and I threatened to, you know, a prejudice lawsuit against you guys. And now I'm here. But it's like we smoothed it over.
We overcame that. Let's put that behind us. And I think let's just blame Dominic. For why it's so long.
I was going to say, blame me.
All right, so let's get into it. I mean, let's tell the truth here. We could ask you one question, and you could just take over this whole episode. We could just say, let's talk about cybersecurity awareness.
Yeah, so, I have been known to, you know, give a very long, unnecessarily long answers.
Yeah, that's
like,
that's fully what we expect.
Okay,
but,
good.
At the risk of that happening, so let's talk about what you do. You do cybersecurity awareness, mostly for organizations. So the first question is, I want to look at kind of two sides of that, because when we're dealing with that issue, we're talking about things that affect the organization and the people in the organization at work, but we also try to touch on their personal lives as well. And I know I've been so blessed by your, you know, mini awareness sessions on LinkedIn, those videos that you put out. And I could just tell that you actually care about companies and you care about people. Can you talk about kind of those two sides? What is kind of the message that you give to companies, the essence of it? And what do you say to people on a personal level to protect themselves?
Yeah, 100%. So you know what? I'm actually going to take it a step back. I'm already starting to be too long on this answer, right? I'm going to take it a step back.
Take it away.
And you know, I'll tell you what I see as the problem. I like to know what the problem is before I start approaching with some assistance. And so what I see as the problem, if we look at society as a whole, and we'll say a lack of security awareness, where does that lack of security awareness come from? A lot of times, I'm sure you guys hear this, where people in our profession, people like us, might say something like, oh, the biggest vulnerability are people. People are stupid, right? You guys are probably heard it. It's I don't saying that it's like way too mean, but we hear that. We hear that a lot, right? Or people aren't very secure. And now, here's the thing. I think that's a huge misunderstanding. I think people, humans, I think animals are very secure by nature. You know, you go to an animal that just had some babies, you know, if you're walking through the forest, you're going to watch how that thing hisses at you, right? They're very secure when they know what a perceived threat is. They're very secure when they know they need to protect something. But outside of that, if we don't know that, if we don't know what's happening, why would we feel the need to be secure, right? So one of the problems is, four main problems. One of the problems is, as a society, I don't think we get what the real threat is, right? If you say cybercrime, you put the word cyber in front of anything, people automatically assume it's technical, right? And so we say cybercrime, you think antivirus. Oh, I got my antivirus, it's cool, I'm good. We don't realize that it's a huge criminal element. There's people who are employed to do this. So we're not truly appreciating the threat, right? The other thing is and I'm sure you guys hear this all the time, or whereas the response, but why would anyone come after me? I don't have anything anyone wants, right? They're going after my boss, they're going after the banks, they're going after what have you, right? And if I truly feel nobody's coming after me, why should I take this seriously? And then of course, the third problem is, nobody really knows what the bad guys are coming after. And that makes a huge difference. Picture yourself, you're in a dark alley, you don't feel safe. There's a bunch of strange looking people with mohawks and tattoos and what have you. And they look like they came out of an 80s video game. I'm picturing
that's
what
I was one thinking
of the, about. Yeah, I'm picturing an 80s video game, actually. Yeah, that's right. And you know, you're surrounded by these muscle-bound, threatening, you know, looking folks. Are you going to take that wad of cash out of your pocket and just start counting it? No, you're not. Why? Because you know that that's valuable to dangerous people. But what happens when that they don't want that cash? What happens when they want something like your driver's license number or your birth date or what have you, something you would never think to protect? You start acting differently. And then the last thing, of course, is spotting a dangerous environment has become a lot harder, because the dangerous environments nowadays are places we are very comfortable with, right? In that example that I gave before, is the obvious dangerous environment, it's an alleyway, right? With muscle-bound tattooed punks, you know, that are there. But now it's our house, it's our bedroom, it's our office, right? Because we're connected online, and why would I feel dangerous? I've never been more comfortable, right? And so I think that really, for me, when I think of the problems associated with security awareness or a lack of security awareness, it really starts with those four pillars, right? Mm. And we have to recognize that before we can attempt to change anything when it comes to training. So that, for me, is when I go in and when I talk to an organization, that for me is at the essence, recognizing those four pillars, not understanding what the real threat is, not understanding why I'm a target, not understanding what the bad guys actually want, and not understanding what the dangerous environments are. Mm. And that's where I start from. So kind of a very long answer to a very short question. But how's that for starting us off?
No. Oh, that's beautiful. And I'm going to give Dominic the next question, but Dominic, make it a good one, because you may only get one question.
First of all, Danny, I know you already know this, but I love your infectious awesomeness. Like, just the energy I can feel radiating through the internet to my home here. So, I mean, I appreciate that so much, that level of energy. But one of the things I want to pick your brain on is how there's still that perception that many people, and this can both be technical people and non-technical people, who don't see the value in awareness. They say, oh, well, all it needs is one person to click on the link. You know, awareness is useless. We shouldn't bother with it. They're not viewing it, though, as a risk reduction technique. They're viewing it as all-in kind of thing, and either or, either it works or it doesn't, when, in matter of fact, that's not how to view it. How do we best frame, the risk reduction instrument that is awareness in a way that will resonate with these people, so they don't just see it as something which is, you know, all it takes is one person to get past things? How do we get past that mindset?
So I love what you just asked, and there's kind of two parts to that, right? And I don't know which part. I'm going to try to calm myself down so I don't start yelling at the computer, because I don't know which part I'm more passionate to answer.
Okay? You can go for it. You're allowed to yell, Dan. Go for it.
Part, right? So the first part, you were saying, you know, those people who see it as an all-in. Well, what's the point of giving awareness? Because someone's going to click on something anyways, and, bada bing, it's all going to fall apart. So why bother, right? And I can't tell you how often I hear that. What really bothers me about that is no one is suggesting that there is one all-purpose tip or one all-purpose strategy, right? And just because one tip will not work for all scenarios doesn't mean that it's still not good, right? As an example, so you're driving your car and you put on a seatbelt and you make sure you follow other safety protocols. Great. But that's not going to save you if you're falling out of an airplane, right? If you're falling out of an airplane without a parachute and I say, hey, Dominic, did you put your seatbelt on in your car? That really does, has no bearings there, right? It's not going to save you if you're being shot in the face, right? Your seatbelt won't protect you there. So if I was to say, well, what's the point of wearing a seatbelt? If you get shot in the face, it's not going to help you. Well, what does one thing have to do with the other, right? One thing has its place and it's necessary. But to make a statement like that, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, well, why bother training? Because dot, 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 this, and training won't protect against that. But it's not meant to protect against that. It's meant to do what it's meant to do. So that's the first part that, and I'm glad you asked, I'm very passionate about. And the second part, and I apologize if I might answer a different question, because I've been yelling so much, so if I go on a different path, just bear with me, right? But the way that I tackle this to an audience, and you know, when an audience is struggling, or I feel that they're thinking, I don't need this training. Somebody comes in, and I've seen them all. I've seen people come in before the pandemic, when I would do them in person, I'd see people come, they'd have their arms folded. This is a waste of my time. I don't want to be here, right? I get that a lot. I'm totally used to that. I have a three-pronged approach with them. One, and it caters to the problems that I listed, to the question that Christian asked. One is, I first start off by making them believe that this is real, right? If they don't believe that cybercrime is as big as it is and what it is, then you're less, there's no point in giving them any tips. They're not listening to those tips if they don't believe it's real. Mm-hmm. The next thing I do is I make them understand how it's applicable to them. I see a lot of organizations, they will start off by saying, you know, you better listen to this, guys, because if we get breached, I'm not getting my bonus. And if I don't get my bonus, like, that's a bad day, right? Nobody cares whether you get your bonus or not. None of those guys do. They got to know, how does this affect them and their families? And I got news for you. It always has, but never more so than 2020. Why? Because everyone's working from home. And when I say everyone, I don't just mean employees. I'm talking about spouses, boyfriends, girlfriends, kids. Everybody's working from home. So if you get breached in some sort of way, that's your information out there, your family's information out there. That's a problem. I also, speaking of understanding, I like to get them to understand what the bad guys want. As I was saying before, I go through and I cover that in great detail, because if you don't understand what the bad guys want, you really can't protect something unless you know it's valuable to bad people, right? And then from there, I move on to empowerment. And I empower them to know that, yeah, there are a lot of stories, and yeah, it sounds super scary, but fighting against this is not that hard. A few things you change, a few things you do differently, and you can protect yourself and your family that much more. I see some people, some organizations will take an opposite approach to empowerment. It will more so be motivation through, you know, strangling fear. If you guys do something wrong, if I find out that you did this or what have you, you're fired, right? Or they'll victim shame. So a story will happen on the news about a company that got breached, and you know, maybe a person gets called out within that story that they're the ones that clicked on the thing that they shouldn't have clicked on, and the office starts making fun of it. The problem is, when you do that and when you joke about that, or when you say people are stupid, that's the biggest problem. All you're doing is you're letting your employees know, if you do something wrong, it's probably best that you don't tell me, because I'm going to make fun of you, I'm going to mock you, or you might even get in really big trouble. And that's a huge problem. We need to encourage them to tell us so we can act on it as quickly as possible. And you take that victim shaming approach, that's not going to happen. It's really going to work against you. And we also need to recognize, listen, in 2017, the CIA was hacked. The CIA, right? I mean, holy cow, that's their job. They're arguably the most secure organization in the world. If these guys are hacked, you can't be making fun of other people for being hacked. This is a part of it, right? So to recap, get them to believe, get them to understand and empower them, and then they're ready to learn. And then they come to you saying, show me more. I like what you've got. And then that's a perfect recipe.
Very good.
You're the best. I can listen to you all day. Christian?
I get one more. That's good. All right. So here's my curiosity at this point in the conversation. I'm trying to imagine your audience. I'm trying to think about the organizations that you're working with. So you're showing up, you're delivering these talks, maybe in person or virtually these days. what organizations are bringing you in to do this? Who is wise enough to care about their cybersecurity to the point of bringing you in to teach them these critical principles?
Excellent question. I'm seeing it range all over the place. I'm seeing organizations that I wouldn't have seen before. I'm seeing a big change in that as well. Like manufacturing organizations that, you know, maybe 10 years ago, they wouldn't have called me. I wouldn't have been speaking to them about that, right? I'm seeing municipalities. I'm seeing all kinds of organizations. And I'm even seeing organizations that already have some sort of on-demand modules in place. And they're not saying that they're planning on ripping out those modules, but they want someone to maybe start off a series, or they want some form of it to be instructor-led to go with those modules, right? There's a lot of great organizations that offer module training out there. I know them. I've got friends that work there. And for certain organizations, if you have so many people, you are going to need some sort of on-demand training. I think, though, to just tackle this with on-demand training, I think that's a mistake, because the on-demand training doesn't allow for that motivational aspect of it, right? And as I said, so many people don't believe this is real. They don't understand how this affects them. So when you get them to take an on-demand test, what do? Click, 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 click. And I'm seeing stats about these 10-minute modules, 20-minute modules being completed in a minute and 43 seconds. Right. But to go back to your original question, I'm seeing from across the board. I'm seeing people coming in at like 20 people offices to people at significantly, over 1,000 people offices all over the place. And what I'm also noticing, I think the biggest difference that I've seen over the years, and it's really interesting, is when I used to do these sessions, most of the questions would come from anybody on that was in the audience that had to do with IT or anyone that ran a team. Because they're, I'm the leader and I'm the most one worried here, right? Now the questions are coming from everybody and the questions are nonstop. Once I start going, once you get them going, you realize, wow, these guys have a lot, people are scared. They get it and they're scared, right? So I'd say the biggest difference is the questions are coming from all over, not just IT, not just people leaders, but everybody.
I want to ask you one more question, Danny. COVID has created an interesting psychological storm of sorts in which people are mentally tired, they're exhausted, they're pulling a million different directions. And, at least from a cybercriminal perspective, that has created a perfect psychological conditions for phishing scams to be even more successful. I think we've seen the success rates of many of these phishing scams increase during a time like COVID. Leveraging awareness, how do we best help people during this time when they're already feeling overwhelmed without adding sort of more of the, here's the latest scam to watch out for, this type of thing? This is much different, during, lack of a better term, during wartime. Our awareness efforts are going to be different than they are during peacetime. How do we empower people to be more understanding and aware of the threat landscape right now without overwhelming them at a time when many people are feeling overwhelmed?
I love it, Dominic. Fantastic question. I'm going to give you my $1 billion response that is applicable for all so many manners of scenarios. Okay. For the first time, they're doing it on your show. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So here it is. So specifically, you're talking about anti-fraud. How do I fight? Because you're talking about fraud has massively increased during bad times. This happens all the time, right? So specifically, what's a simple way without giving them, here's another tip, here's another tip, here's another thing to think about without overwhelming these guys? So what I say is, and this tip will help you in any scenario, not just for cybersecurity anti-fraud, but honestly, any mistake in life within anything. You get a message of any kind, whether it's phone, whether it's email, whether it's text, whether it's anything. And that message does one or any combo of four things to you. That message makes you really scared, makes you really sad, makes you really happy, or makes you really angry. Any one of those four main emotions. It triggers any of that. Before you respond, I want you to take 10 to 20 seconds. Take a deep breath and just breathe in and out for 10 to 20 seconds. Then read or look at that message again and ask yourself, does any of this make sense? And are there any holes in any of this? right? Never respond when you're emotional, even when you're happy. And you know what? I'm not even just talking about cybersecurity here, right? I'm talking about life in general. You get a legitimate email from a friend and it's legit, it's real, right? But it does one of the, it hits you really hard with one of those four things. That's going to be trouble if you respond in the moment. Take those 10 to 20 seconds to switch yourself from an emotional state to a logical state. And your response is going to be that much safer. All it takes to switch from emotional to logical is 10 to 20 seconds. That's it, right? And this is what I like about this tip is it's not too specific, it's not too overwhelming, and it can be applied to anything. Never respond in that moment. You know, when we see those people and we say, how did you fall for that? Oh, you know, you're so stupid. And then people will make fun of these people like, oh, CRA scam. Why would they want to be paid with an Apple gift card, right? Well, sure, easy to look now when we're calm and we're not the ones being scared, easy for us to mock because we're thinking it logically. They were not in a logical state. So therefore, all our logic means nothing to them. It doesn't apply to them, right? So that would be my my suggestion for all manners of fraud or even just life in general. You're scared, sad, angry, or happy. Take 10 seconds, take 20 seconds, breathe in and out, then decide what to do carefully and go from there.
And that's the art of mindfulness. That's you're the Zen master, Danny.
Zen master, except I drink probably way more Red Bull than a Zen master would. But yeah.
How many did you drink before this episode today?
For you guys, none. This is just all fueled by you guys. That's what's pumping, you know, my adrenaline. I'm just talking to you guys.
I was just gonna say that Danny, you definitely delivered on your moniker of Mr. Awesome. I mean, the sheer energy that you brought today, and I know I can speak for both Christian and I that you know, without a shadow of a doubt, you know, we'd love to have you as a recurring guest because the energy you bring to these conversations, the enlightenment you bring both to us and to our viewers and listeners. I mean, this is the stuff of dreams. So we really appreciate your time.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah.
So how do people reach out to you? How do people get a hold of you, Danny?
You know what I always tell people? I'm on LinkedIn quite a bit, on Twitter quite a bit. So you can find me through LinkedIn. You can find me through Twitter, or you can find me through my website. Not very creative. It's just my first name, the last name.com, DannyPayar.com.
Gotcha.
You can find me through there.
Beauty. All right. Well, thanks for joining us today. And Dominic and I will be back to wrap things up in just a moment.
Christian, that sure as heck lived up to the bill. I mean, Danny is one high energy person. I don't know if that's you know, propelled by artificial substances or what, but his energy level is absolutely legendary.
This episode was brought to you by the Red Bull that Danny Pehar frequently drinks.
Performance enhancing substances there, but curious to know your takeaways from that conversation with Danny.
Well, first of all, I know he usually speaks a lot longer than 20 minutes, so that was just an intro for him. We absolutely have to have him back on. But he packages the message so in such a way that it's so easy to understand. And the one that stood out to me was believe that there are cyber threats, understand what to do, and then empower the people to do it. And also the idea, and this obviously applies to life, not just cybersecurity threats, but don't respond emotionally. When you're in an emotion, whether it's good or bad, in an extreme emotional state, make till you're in a logical state before you take an action or don't take an action.
Absolutely. You know, I really don't have anything to add to the summary other than, you know, I think that it's so cool that we're gonna have Danny as a recurring guest because
for sure.
His energy levels just lifted me up during that conversation. You know, he is someone who truly has a very incredible gift of being able to communicate a relatively dry subject area like cybersecurity and make it so damn compelling. So we very much look forward to having Danny being a fan favorite and recurring guest on the show.
Well, I got to say on that point about emotions and logic, he quantified that with $1 billion value point. So maybe it's not worth $1 billion to one person, but if it helps millions of people save, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, then maybe that number is correct.
As always, we want to make sure that we thank our amazingly loyal listeners and viewers for tuning in. Hopefully everyone enjoyed this high energy conversation today with Danny Pahar. As always, please make sure to check out previous episodes at the Conversations That Matter YouTube page, as well as feel free to check out other awesome podcasts that fly under the same family banner. Until next time, be well, be safe, be awesome. And in these times, be sure to mask up. But we'll catch you next time on the Cybersecurity Matters podcast.